Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Welcome. Glad you guys are here. It's feels like spring and summer all mixed together, and excited just for this this Sunday and just connecting with you guys. But before we do that, I just want to draw your attention real quick. We have a very special guest joining us today. This is their first Sunday here at Flag Church. I don't know how many of you have met them yet, but she's here with us. Please join me in welcoming Winona Sue Sparks. Yeah! Rachel, you want to stand? Is that okay? So they can kind of see you guys. Can we give it up one more time? So happy for you guys. I know Pastor Eli was talking about God's faithfulness, and here is a testimony to God's faithfulness for continued prayer and continue to believe in God's plan and God's will for you guys' life. And God's just been so faithful, and we're so happy for them. And as you guys walked in, you may have seen a table set out in the lobby. We shared last week how we just want to bless them. We want to just come alongside of them and be God's hands and feet to this family. So if you have brought something, a gift card or stuff off their gift registry, if you haven't, there's still time. You can scan the QR code. It'll take you to that. Join our Flag Church app. It's on there as well. But we're excited just for this new season for the Spark family. So thank you. And also, just to tag along with what Pastor Eli already shared with you guys, we're excited for the month of June, being family service and family services all through the month of June. And we have, this is a new thing for us, and we don't take it lightly, and we really feel like as a church that believes in the next generation, that part of our responsibility is helping create spaces for spiritual formation, for student, for kids and parents and families to understand that God created family. That was His intention when He brought man and woman together to form families so that God's kingdom can continue to grow through family. And so we want to create safe spaces where kids don't graduate from high school and college and go, "What is big church?" And unfortunately, that is what we see happening a lot. We have kids that graduate from high school, have never been in adult church, and go, "I can't fit in. Those people over there are scary and weird." And so we don't want that. We want the next generation to continue to integrate because they are the future. They are the church of today and the church to come. And so is it going to be perfect? No. Is it going to be messy? Yes. I love it. Jesus said, hey, you know what? I bet Jesus' church was messy. I think in Matthew 19, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I was even sharing with some people yesterday. I was like, you know what? If we have blankets on the ground and the kids are sitting there, and if we've got kids rolling around, and as long as they're in the presence of God, that's what matters, right? So those of you that are like, man, church needs to be perfect. Hey, I'm one of those people, so I'm letting you know. So, hey, get over it. It's going to be perfect in Jesus' eyes. And for those of you parents that are worried and nervous that your kids are going to be the loudest one, get over it, because every kid is loud. We've had three kids. We know it. We've been through different seasons. Just relax. Come enjoy church. We're going to be intentional. We're going to have worship for the kids. We're going to have a teaching segment for the kids. And so it's going to be an amazing time with the family comes together to worship God. And here's what's going to be cool. You ready for this? Jesus is going to be smiling. Does that change everything? Does that change everything? So let's be excited. Let's come believing. Let's invite guests. Hey, if you invite guests, let them know, hey, we won't have childcare, but we're going to have family style. But after June, we'll have nursery and kids church and all of that. We'll make the nurseries available for parents that really want to get away for a few seconds. They won't be staffed, but they'll be made available. But we're excited for family style service. Well, good morning again. If this is your very first Sunday, I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Pastor Anthony. Excited that you're here with us. And if you're joining us online and those of you that are connecting from Fort Scott, welcome as well. This morning is Pentecostal Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, it's an important day in the calendar of the church. We've been talking a lot about prayer. Here at Flag Church, our foundation is God's Word. We build on God's Word. And we have three pillars that hold up the church here at Flag Church. And our three pillars is that we are a praying church, we are a Spirit-empowered church, and that we are a missional church. So if somebody was to say, hey, what do you guys do there at Flag Church? What do you guys believe? How do you guys, what is their operation based on? And you can tell them, hey, we believe in the God's Word. That is our foundation. Everything we do comes off of the Word of God. And then we have three pillars that hold the church up, which is that we believe in prayer and that every person is praying and has a vibrant prayer life. And we've just unpacked a whole series talking about prayer and the different altars of prayer. And Pastor Shelby just did an amazing job in our leadership huddle here, just talking about the importance of prayer. And we hope that you would continue to seek God in the area of prayer and build those altars. But we also believe that we are a Spirit-empowered church, and we'll talk more about that today. And that we're a missional church. We're a sending church. We believe that God has called us to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we're a sending church. We send missionaries to the uttermost parts of the world, the unreached people groups, just so that they will know Jesus just like you do. That is who we are. Today is the celebration of Pentecostal Sunday. It's the birth of the capital C church. It's the birth of the universal church that began after the ascension of Jesus Christ. When Jesus went up to heaven, the church was born, and today was that day. Depending on your background or experience, Pentecost may convey a day. It may be a movement, a festival that you celebrate, a doctrinal position, or possibly nothing at all for some of us. The word Pentecost came from the Greek word for 50, which originally was from a Jewish festival of weeks, or how they say it, Shavuot, or Shavuot, however you say it, I might have butchered that, which came 50 days after the Passover festival, okay, which we see Jesus celebrating. And in that Jewish context, Pentecost was a great festival where the Jews celebrated the first harvest of grain, where they would bring the first fruits of their harvest and would present it to God as an offering. It was a way that they would worship God through the offering. And it's similar to what we do in our context today when we talk about the tithes and offerings, where we bring the first 10% of our income to God as an obedient way of our worshiping God, an obedient sacrifice. It's the tithe that you bring to the local church. Bring your tithe to the local church is what Scripture says. And so it's very similar to what we see the Jews doing in that time. Since Jesus' ascension, for Christians, Pentecost is a holiday in which we commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit on the early followers of Jesus Christ. It's a symbolic act for the church where it begins God's harvest, God's spiritual harvest of lives. It is the beginning of Jesus using the power of the Holy Spirit to bring lost people into the kingdom of God. And we see Jesus saying this in John chapter 16, verse 7. Here's what he said. He said, but it is best for you that I go away. Jesus is telling his disciples, saying, hey, it's good for you that I go away. It's like, whoa, 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 what do you mean? I need to go away, right? The disciples are like, we need you to be here. But Jesus is telling the disciples, it's good for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. I would send the advocate, which is the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, it's called paraclete, which means a comforter, a counselor, a helper. How many of you would go right now, man, I could use a counselor. I could use a helper. Man, I could use a counselor in my life. I could use a paraclete. I can use the advocate in my life. And that is what Jesus was saying. I am going because when I go, I can send the advocate. See, before the first Pentecost happened, there were followers of Jesus Christ, but no true movement. There was not a true movement that was meaningfully called the church. So from the historic perspective, Pentecost was the day that the church was established. It was the day that there was a movement that started to form that caused the church to grow. If Christmas marks the birth of Christ, Pentecost marks the birth of the church. If Easter marks the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, Pentecost marks the day when Jesus' message of hope began to be proclaimed to all the world. The gospel began to spread with the birth of the church that took place 50 days after Jesus ascended, which was Pentecost. Celebration of Pentecost marks a divine line between the Holy Spirit occasionally manifesting himself and bringing temporary power to certain individuals that we see in the Old Testament. Occasionally showing up. And we see this happening in the Old Testament with Joshua, where we see the Holy Spirit empowering him. Gideon, we see the Holy Spirit empowering him. We see Samson. We see King David, the Holy Spirit empowering and anointing him for a work. We see Ezekiel. We see Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Man, there is so much that he foretold about the time of Jesus. And how did he do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. But it was occasional occurrences of the Holy Spirit empowering people for the kingdom work that we see. And that was before Jesus in the Old Testament. After Jesus, the Holy Spirit became a continual presence. A continual presence to sustain and empower you and me, to empower us now to do the work of God that God has called us and equipped us to. And the Holy Spirit is here to remain with us, to live in us, so that we may become complete and full of what Jesus has for us. So being Pentecostal means living in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Living in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the work of Jesus was redemptive. He came to this world as a baby, as a human, to do the work that God the Father wanted him to do, which was to redeem us from our sins, to set us free from being captives to the slavery of sin. But the work of the Holy Spirit is the continual redemption. To continue to do what Jesus did. To continue to do the sanctification work that is needed in our hearts and in our lives. It is an ongoing process. So the Holy Spirit is here to help us continue to grow, to continue to advance in the work that God wants to see happen in us. He wants to empower us. He wants to transform us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to purify us. He wants to make us Christ's priesthood so that we can go be the hands and feet of Jesus to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world, starting here in our own families and our own communities. So this morning, I want to look at the Holy Spirit from the lens of Jesus. Because it always helps to go back to Jesus and look at Holy Spirit from the lens of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, and if you turn with me, or if not, it'll be on the screen, to Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to be throwing a lot of scripture at you today. You may not be able to turn to every one of that. If you just want to take a notepad or your journal and make notes, you can go back and refer to them. It'll be good homework stuff. It'll be good devotional stuff for you to just learn more about Pentecost and what does it mean to be a Spirit-empowered church? What does it mean to be a Spirit-empowered human being? An individual that is Spirit-empowered. So Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, and then verse 16 and 17. So I'll be jumping around there. Matthew chapter 3, here is what's happening. Jesus is getting ready to start his ministry, the 3 years of ministry work. And before he gets ready to start his ministry, we see that we had John the Baptist who was there, who was the forerunner for Jesus, who was baptizing people. And Jesus is showing up to John the Baptist to be baptized. And so here we go. Then Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan, to the Jordan River, to be baptized by John. What a baptism. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. The Spirit of the living God descended like a dove and settled on him. After a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved son," and I think Kelly referred to this as beloved son, "who brings me great joy." So the question here: the Spirit of the living God settled on him, on Jesus. Why? I mean, this is Jesus, right? Why would the Spirit of the living God have to be sent down to settle on Jesus? See, when Jesus stepped into this world, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege and he was born as a human being. He was born just like you and me. He walked this earth as a human being, meaning he was just like what you and I do, just like you and I, me. And every time that Jesus did whatever he did when he was here on this earth for those 3 years of ministry, I mean, he preached, he healed people, he helped those that were suffering, he set the captives free, he had victory over sin. He defeated Satan's power. All of what Jesus did on in his 3 years of ministry, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of the living God settled on him and empowered him to be able to do the work that God had called him to do here on this earth. To set the captives free, to defeat Satan, to overcome sin, to do everything that we see that Jesus did. And we look at scripture, it kind of points to that. We look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and here's what it said. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So we see the Spirit, where he was filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit to do the work of the Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 14, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. There was something about Jesus that got people's attention, and the word spread that Jesus was in the region, and it was like wildfire, but it was because of he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, here we see Jesus going to the temples, pulling out the scrolls, and he's reading this about him that was proclaimed 800 years before Christ by the prophet Joel, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, that was foretelling the world what was coming ahead through Jesus. And Jesus is saying this about himself in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Why? Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prison and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus and empowered him to be able to do the work that the Father had sent him to do, which was to set the captives free. There was power that came through the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit allowed Jesus to accomplish God's plan of redemption, restoration, and relationship being restored back to the Father. And He's still doing that today in our hearts and in our lives. If you're here this morning, I can guarantee you that we need more redeeming. We need more restoration done in our lives. We need our relationships restored back to the Father in new ways. Man, there is so much more that God wants to set free in our hearts and in our lives that are holding us down. We are, and I was going to title this message, "There is More." There is more because with the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants to bring more into our hearts and into our lives so that we can live a fulfilled life, a life of fulfillment, a life of thanksgiving, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of hope, a life of freedom, not bondage. In becoming human, Jesus had to operate in the same way we must. We need to be people dependent on God's Holy Spirit, dependent on His power. Later, we find Jesus doing what John the Baptist alluded to when he said, where Jesus received this power that he had. Jesus had it in him, and then he was getting ready to impart this power on his disciples. And we see John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Here's what he said: "I baptize with water those who repent for their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am," which is Jesus. "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So John the Baptist is saying, "Hey, listen up, guys. You need to repent of your sin. You need to be water baptized, and I'm going to be doing that. And yes, you're going to have to do that. But there is someone coming who is bringing something more that is going to empower you." And Jesus is saying here that, hey, I have received this power from the Father, and I walked through the water baptism, and I received this power so that I could do the work the Father has asked me to do. Now, I am going to the Father, and I'm going to give you that power so you can continue the work that I started to do here on this earth. So you can continue to be my hands and feet, so that you can continue to help to set the captives free, so that you can continue to bring freedom in your life first. And because you have brought freedom in your life, and your testimony and your eyes that have seen Jesus will allow you and empower you to then take it to those that don't know Jesus yet and set the captives free. But we try to do this in our own strength, and we constantly keep failing. We constantly keep falling. We constantly keep falling short of what God wants to do in and through us, because we do it in our own power, and we can never accomplish what God can do. So let us fast forward and see what happens right before Jesus' ascension to heaven. So Jesus went to the grave. He died. On the third day, he rose again, and he showed up to the disciples many times. And in one of those occasions when he showed up, in John chapter 20, verse 20 through 22, here's what he did. He showed up to the disciples after he had risen from the dead, and he spoke. He showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So let me help you understand that a little bit here. So what we see happening here is Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's appearing to the disciples. And this is one of the times that he shows up to the disciples, and he says, "Hey, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to send you. And he breathes on them to receive the Holy Spirit. This was the Holy Spirit that was given for the purpose of new life. OK, Okay, so if we were to look at the first time that God breathed into our lungs, we see that in Genesis, God breathed into our lungs and gave us life. And we see that in Genesis chapter 2, where God breathes into human beings and we receive life. But since then, we've kind of walked through this sin nature. And then Jesus shows up. So we were living in the old covenant agreement where we were making animal sacrifices and trying to please God and trying to ask God to forgive us from our sins. And it wasn't working. And Jesus sends his son, God sends his son Jesus into this world. Jesus shows up and he dies for you and me. And now there is a new covenant that is formed, a covenant in Jesus Christ. And what we see is that the disciples were living in the old covenant. They had hung out with Jesus. They knew Jesus. They were living, they were praying, they were doing Jesus' life, but they were living in the old covenant. But then Jesus dies. He's risen from the grave, and now he's introducing the new covenant to the disciples, and he breathes on them for the Holy Spirit to come live in them. For restoration purpose, for regeneration of our life. The old is gone and the new has come. And so we see Jesus giving instructions for you and me and letting us know when we give our lives to Jesus Christ and we say, you know what, I'm sinful, I need forgiveness for my sins and I need to receive Jesus into my life. We receive the new covenant and in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And he takes residence in our lives. And we go through the water baptism to proclaim to the whole world, hey, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we see that happening in this case, where the disciples receive that Holy Spirit. But does it end there? No, there is more. The Father has more for these disciples than what happened when Jesus breathed on them. And we find that in the next few verses. We turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. And here is Jesus giving them instructions again. He comes to them one more time. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostle from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Because this was very important. It was very important for Jesus that the disciples understood that they need to stop focusing on this kingdom here on this earth and start focusing on the kingdom of God. And that is why when we pray the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because Jesus wants us to be focused on his kingdom and not our own kingdoms. So Jesus is saying, he was telling them about that kingdom. Once when he was eating with them, verse 4, he commanded them, here we go, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. Okay, so here we go. Jesus is saying, hey, guess what? You've already received the Holy Spirit, but the Father has a gift for you that he has promised. And I don't want you to leave Jerusalem to go do the work that I've called you to do till you receive that gift. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In a few days you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the verse there says, as I told you before. And he was talking about this, and I'll give you a scripture that you can go home, write it down, and you can read and understand what he meant by that. In John chapter 14, verses 14 through 18, it unpacks what he said before. Okay, John 14, 14 through 18, if you want to write that down, you can read that later. But he said, John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, which was the second manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The first one was when Jesus breathed on the disciples. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Isn't that funny? Here is Jesus. He's talking to them about his kingdom, and he's saying, I want you to focus on a heavenly kingdom. What are the disciples going? And he's saying, hey, don't leave. There's a power coming. There's a gift I have. What are the disciples saying? Hey, what about our kingdom here? They're so distracted, right? And I think that is you and me. I think sometimes we give our lives to Jesus Christ, but we don't realize that there is so much more that God has. We are distracted by our own kingdom. We're focused on our worries and, man, what should happen tomorrow? Who should be the next president? What school system is doing what? What government entity is doing what? We get caught up in our kingdom and we lose focus on the heavenly kingdom. And guess what? The devil wants you to do that. He wants you to be distracted by this kingdom and just be focused on our pity problems and our challenges that make us uncomfortable, that don't line up with our belief system. But Jesus is saying, hey guys, there is so much more. Stop being distracted by this kingdom because I want you to be focused on a heavenly kingdom. And here we go. He replied, verse 7, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and time, and they are not for you to know. It's like, hey, stop focusing on the wrong stuff. Don't worry about things that you can't control. But you, here we go, but you will receive, once again he goes on, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's like, stop focusing on the wrong things. Focus on what can set you free. Start focusing on the things that can bring you freedom and can bring others freedom. That same power that came upon Jesus, the Holy Spirit power. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That is what Jesus wanted his disciples to focus on. Is completing the Great Commission to go into all the world, telling them about Jesus, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you can't do that in your own power. You need the power of the Holy Spirit because he's the one that can show you kingdom plans so that you can accomplish kingdom plans, not your kingdom plans. But when we take our eyes off of the Holy Spirit and we focus on our little kingdoms, we constantly fail and fall. And we constantly fall short. He says, power for me first. It is power for me first. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not to make me better than you. It is not so that I can put on a spiritual badge, a Boy Scout badge that tells me, oh man, I earned this. I am so much more better. I'm spiritually so mature. Man, you still have work to do. No, no, no. That's not why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is there for. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is make me better than me. Because I'm a broken person. I need help every day. I need to be regenerated. I need to be restored every day. There is work that is happening inside of me. I'm fighting a battle every day. How many of you, don't raise your hand, will say, man, I don't have temptation any day. I don't fall into sin. I don't get angry. I don't have anxiety. I don't have worry. I don't have fear. I don't have these problems in my life. I don't have marriage issues. I don't have financial issues. I don't have health issues. We have all of that, don't we? And we need a power that is able to overcome that so we don't walk around like depressed people that don't have hope, but we walk around like people that believe in Jesus Christ. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me, and I should be walking with the freedom, not with bondage. But why do we walk with bondage? Because we don't have the power. Because we stopped. We didn't continue in what Jesus asked his disciples to do. We said, you know what? That is good enough. I'm happy. I'll just live like that till I meet Jesus face to face. No, Jesus is saying, no, I have more. I have more for you. For Jesus himself, he needed that power. Because you know what happened? The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And what happened? Jesus was tempted by the devil. How did Jesus overcome by the devil? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Using the word of God that was revealed to him by the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the devil for his own life. If Jesus needed that, how much more do we need that to overcome the work of the devil in our lives who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Second, power for them. for the work of the kingdom. Power for me first, but then power for everyone else that I know in my family, in my neighborhood, in my communities, because people are living as people that have been caught up in a sin nature that are breaking them daily, that are destroying their lives, that are killing them daily, and they need hope and freedom too. But I have the power to take that to them, to the kingdom, to let the Holy Spirit get a hold of me and use me. Do you want to be used to set the captives free? Do you want to be used to take hope to a broken world? Do you want to know when to say what to say when to a person that maybe asks you a difficult question about your faith? Do you want to be empowered so you can be effective in accomplishing God's great commission? Or you need the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see Jesus needing that for himself. He received the power so he could perform the miracle so that the Father could be glorified. Every miracle pointed back to the Father, and they're like amazed. And they got, this God is real. This God brings healing. This God brings restoration. This God brings hope. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit Jesus is able to do the work that he was called to do. And you and I are in the same shoes. So what happens? Jesus ascends to heaven. And then we pick it up in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place to pray. They were meeting a community altar. They had a personal altar, a community altar. They were focused on the miracle altar. They were doing the work. They were in one place, in one accord. The church is an important part of our lives. So if you think you can stay home and do church, man, let me tell you, it doesn't work that way. There is something that happens when we come together, together. And so we come together in one place. And suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Just picture with me for a moment what that felt like. Would that have been something that we would experience in heaven? When every tongue and every tribe is worshiping God in one accord, not just in English. But what we see happening here is what Jesus said would happen. He told his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem. Stay till you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so they were obedient. Jesus has gone to heaven. He said, I'm going so I can send the advocate, right? The paraclete, the helper, the counselor, the comforter, the one that has all wisdom and knowledge and insight. So he goes to heaven, and they're in one place, and they are praying, and they're waiting, and the Holy Spirit shows up, and they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Was this a miracle? Yes. It was a miracle. Have they been praying and seeking and praying and seeking God's face for this? Yes. And because they were praying and they were obedient and they were asking for the gift, what happened? The miracle happened, and there was the power of the Holy Spirit was put upon them. Not the baptism, not the Holy Spirit that we get when we receive Jesus Christ into our lives, which we all have. But there is more. There is more that the Father promises for each and every one of us, because that empowers us. Power needed to move forward so that we can do the work that was needed. The disciples needed that power so they could continue to do the work that they were called to do. And we can see, if you keep reading in Acts, you will see how the disciples started to be empowered and they started to speak with confidence and boldness. And guess what happened? The religious leaders were trying to threaten them and stop them from doing the work of God. And what did they do? They went back and they prayed again and said, God, protect us. God, you said you will equip us. God, you said that you wanted us to spread the gospel in chapter 4. And the baptism, the Holy Spirit falls upon them a second time. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time occurrence. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is for every situation that happens in your life. Anytime that you have a different need, you go to the Father and He fills you with power to be able to accomplish the work. And what did the disciples do? They went back in chapter 5. They went back and they preached the gospel. And guess what happened? Miracles happened. Lives were changed. People started receiving Jesus Christ. What happened? There was a power of the Holy Spirit that moved. So what does this mean for you and me? There is more. There is more for you. There is more for me. The question is, are we just wanting to settle with what we have, or are we all in? Do we want all of Jesus in our lives? As I was praying this morning, I had this vision that God placed in my heart. It's like the word was deep desire. A deep desire for more of God. And there are these wells that are empty, and God wants to fill these wells with His Spirit to overflow in us, to hydrate our souls. Psalm 24 talks about, Psalm 42, as the deer pants, my soul pants for you, Lord. And there's a story that I'd like to share with you this morning. There was a family that their child was sick. And they didn't realize what was happening. And they were having all kinds of body aches and high fever. And their body was not responding to medication. And they were really sick. And so this family decided to take their daughter into the hospital. And when they took her into the hospital, they started doing some tests. And when they started doing some tests, what they found out was that this child was dehydrated. Didn't have enough fluids. All she needed was his fluids. But what we found out is the moment that we get dehydrated, our body goes into this shock. And it starts to break down. And it starts to not function the way it was intended to function. So they put her on IVs. And in about 2 hours, she was back to herself. Because they had given the hydration that the body needed. Flag Church, you and me were created for a purpose. You and I are not an accident. You were created by your Creator God. You were formed in your mother's womb. His fingerprints are all over you. You have a purpose and a meaning to life. And when He created you, the Creator and the author of your life formed you a certain way so that you function a certain way. And just like we need water to hydrate our bodies so that we can function correctly, we need to be hydrated by the Holy Spirit for our souls to operate correctly. We need to be hydrated by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can function first for us in freedom. So that we can have hope. So that we can walk with the confidence and the boldness that comes to us. But when we choose to stop short, even though that we may have Jesus in our lives, which is what saves us and takes us to heaven, we're still walking around like broken people that don't have hope sometimes. And when the world looks at us, they don't see any difference. They go, man, yeah, I know you're a Christ follower, but it's not a lot of difference. I mean, you keep falling all the time. You keep sinning all the time. You keep acting like you're lost all the time. But when we step into the fullness of what God has, which is that second phase where the Holy Spirit baptizes us, there's a power that comes. For me first, for you first, to set you free. Luke chapter 4 verse 18, the Spirit of the living God is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has to set the captives free, to bring sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. Those are things that we need for our lives first. To break the bondage of sin and to walk in freedom. And once we do that, our lives become a powerful testimony. But we become effective tools in the hands of God to set the captives free. So my question to you this morning One, have you asked for this gift and have you received it? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If you are not sure, I would say it's possible that you haven't. Second, I would ask is, if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, are you operating in it? I've known people that have been at camp altars that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and go, man, that was an amazing gift. And they put it on the shelves and never use it. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and received your prayer language, if you're not operating in that beautiful prayer language, then why did you receive the gift? I don't want to be a church of people that just show up and say, checkbox, I was here. But what if we were to be a church of people that were truly a Spirit-empowered church? What would happen to our families? What would happen to our communities? What would happen to our colleges? What would happen to our schools? What would happen to our marriages? Our health? Our finances? What would it look like? It could all shift because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of life that God has for us. So this morning, if you'd stand with me, here's what I'm going to do. We've been coming to the altar for the last 8-10 weeks. We've been talking about prayer, which is a key ingredient to asking God in conversation, God, here I am. Will you give me the gift that you promised so I can live in freedom? It's a process that we've been doing and practicing. Because it's the way of Jesus. It's the way of living. Many of you have come to the altar. This morning I'm going to encourage you and invite you to come to the altar. What is the purpose? You're going to come so that you can ask God to give you this gift. This gift of the Holy Spirit. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit according to God's word. So that you don't live a life that is living in impartiality, but you're living a life of fullness. For you first. Freedom for you first. And then, so that others may be set free because of the freedom that you find and the power that you operate in, just like the New Testament church and the disciples did. I'm not just going to ask you to show up here if you have never received it. I'm also going to ask you to show up here if you have received it, but you're not operating in it. Because I want to give you an opportunity to ask God to give you that gift again. Because we see in the scriptures through the disciples and through the followers of Jesus Christ, that was not just a one-time gift. That God used it to empower people in different seasons that they were in. You may be in a certain season that requires empowering in a certain way. Then you shift to a different season and God empowers you by His Holy Spirit in a different way. So what's going to happen when you come up here? You're going to come up here. The worship team is going to lead us in worship. The first thing that all believers are called to do is to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise, right? So you're going to come up here and we're going to worship with the whole church. You're going to just stand here and you're going to worship God. What's going to happen after that? I'm going to ask you, even as the worship team worships, I'm going to ask you to pray like you've done in the past. To pray and ask God, just to be in conversation with God, using your voice and saying, God, I love you. God, I worship you. God, I praise you. God, I'm so thankful for you in my life. For being faithful, just like Pastor Eli said. And you're just going to have a conversation. Nothing crazy, nothing weird. And then what's going to happen? Then I'm going to ask you, after a few minutes, I'm going to say, God, would you give me that gift that you promised in your word? I'm here obediently. I've given my life to you. I'm walking as a follower of Jesus Christ. I just want you to give me that gift so I may be living in fullness, empowered by you. And then we're going to wait and let God do what only He can do. Because He's the baptizer. He's the baptizer. And He has His way of working and He will do what He can do. Only He can do. So this morning, before we even start worshiping, I'm going to invite you to make your way to the altar to find a spot. And when you come, I'm just going to have you stand. Don't even kneel. Because we're just going to worship God at the altar. So I'm going to invite you. Would you come to receive this gift that He has for you? The invitation is open right now. Let's live in fullness. Would you come? So we can pray. We can seek God. And let me tell you right now, If you know that you need to go, but you've got anxiety or you've got fear, that is not from God. That is the enemy keeping you from receiving what God has for you. So would you come find a spot here? We'll wait. So you can just stand. You come and receive the power that God has for you as well. There's freedom at the altar. It's a safe place. It's a place to run to. A place to find hope. A place to find healing. A place to find power. A place to be set free from the things that you've been trying to be set free but you have not been able to. Because you've been trying to do it in your own power. But there's only power that God has that can set you free. He's your creator. He's your Lord. Anyone else? Maybe it is your marriage that needs power this morning, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit can bring freedom. Lead us out, worship team. And as the worship team leads us, those of you that are up front and every one of you, would you just worship God? If you know the words, would you close your eyes? Would you lift your hands? And let's just worship God. If you don't know the words, keep your eyes open. Can we lift our hands and let's just worship God? Let's do that across this place. And those of you that are at the altar, let's do the same thing. Let's just worship God right now. Yes, lead us out.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will.